turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter number 13. Acts chapter number 13. Start reading in verse number 4. And going through verse number 13. Says, so they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They had also John to their minister. When they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. Balneas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John departed from them, returning to Jerusalem. Heavenly Father, Lord, even as we study your word tonight, Lord, as we look at what you have written, what you've reported for us, Lord, that we would see our place in your work. Lord, we would be strengthened for the work. Lord, bless tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. As messages go, and sometimes as I said, I title them, and sometimes I don't, and tonight's title is Don't Give Up. And as we start a new year, as we prepare, and this morning, as I gave indication of some of the things that are coming, some of the plans and our verse as a theme, would seem almost to be a stretch beyond our capabilities. But even as I said this morning, is not beyond the God that we serve. The challenge tonight is whatever happens, whatever resolves, whatever comes our way throughout this year, don't give up. I have found in the biggest challenge, the reason why I really don't care for New Year's resolutions is because anytime we make a decision, struggles come. Trials come. Temptations come. When you decide that, okay, I'm going to start this diet, it's amazing how many people are suddenly giving away boxes of candy, your favorite. When you determine that this year you're going to do something, no matter what it is, it seems like the exact opposite suddenly crops up and places its ugly head between you and your intended goal. It's the same for all of us. Nothing is different from one person to the next. We must, after making a decision, make the decision right, but also put in some effort, put in some discipline, and determine in our heart that no matter what, I'm going to go through. And that's part of the reason why I dislike New Year's resolutions, because so many, often they are written weeks or even months before January 1st and then put off until. Well, we are now in the new year, and if you made New Year's resolutions, good. If you didn't, good. Doesn't really matter to me whether you did or not, and whether somebody, but if we made any, if we have any plans for the new year, stick to them. As we have a theme of, and as it says, the next day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. The next Sabbath day, the very next time to hear the word of God. And that may seem beyond our capabilities. That may seem beyond what we are able to. The goal too lofty for a church our size. But we have to be cautious. Because even in this passage, it shows four things that will be in the work of the Lord. The first thing we see in the work of the Lord is we see excitement. There's always that initial excitement as we see God do something, as we see God fill a body of believers or a person with the Holy Ghost, and we see that excitement, we see things start to happen, and there's always excitement associated with this. In verses 2 and 3 of chapter 13, it says, "And they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." That it talks about how this group of believers had gathered together, and I didn't go back to verse number 1 because I didn't want to struggle through the names listed out in verse number 1. But they're gathered together, this group of believers, and the Holy Spirit says, separate these two for the work of the ministry. I believe that John Mark was in this group. That he saw the Holy Spirit call these two men, and he goes, wow, I want to be a part of that. And he has the excitement and as everybody is excited about seeing what God has been doing and what God is going to do through these two men as they are sent out as the first missionaries. And I can see the excitement of John Mark as everything happens, and oh, I want to go. We often in church have times throughout the years of excitement. We're planning on the revival services at this Saturday and Sunday, and there can be excitement in that as we see lives change, as we see people make a commitment at the beginning of the year for service throughout the year. With God's grace and mercy, during that time we will see someone come forward and receive Jesus as their personal Savior. And we'll see someone come forward and join the church. But all the excitement that can be created during that time. Or we have youth camp and we send the young people away and youth camp, especially when they're gone for a whole week, separated from the technology, separated from the distractions, and they make decisions for the Lord. Because they finally have some time between them and God to hear what God has to say. Or we have youth conferences, and during that time they see other young people who the Lord has already been working on because of camp or through their church's revival or whatever is going on in their church, and you see young people go forward and they'll get excited about what God is doing and the young people and oh, I want to be a part of that. And we'll have mission conference, and missionaries will come in, and the passion that the missionary has for the field that God has called them to, and they'll get up and be excited about it, and there'll be folks going, "Oh, I want to be a part of that. I want to go and see what it's like. I want to see what's happening." I have a friend that goes and spends time in the Philippines every year and preaches the gospel and comes back and reports numerous souls saved every day, and the crowds that pack into the churches there, and all the excitement that would be. And he goes, "Oh, you just got to come. You have to experience that and see what it's like." The excitement. And as exciting as it may be to happen somewhere else, but oh, how much more excitement when it happens in our own church. The second thing we see in the passage that happens in the work of the Lord is the work part, the toil. Verses 4 and 5, we see that they went forth and departed, and they, verse number 5, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. You go out and door knock and visit with people and invite people to come to church. It doesn't take you too long. If you ask them the questions, if they take the time to answer, "Oh, I go here to church, I go here to church," and we are a very churched nation. And Paul and Silas went as missionaries to a very religious people. Their first stop was in a synagogue, and you see later that their next stop is in a synagogue, and very, very religious people. There was some work involved in getting to that point in their life and to that point to be able to preach the Word of God. At the end of the verse number 5, it says, "And they had also John to their ministry." Oh, here's a young man that's excited about what God is going to do in these two men. And oh, can I just come and do something for you? Polish your shoes, iron your shirts, or robes probably. Make you dinner. Let you spend your time in prayer and study. And I'll take care of all the needs of the journey if you'll just let me come with, just to see what God's going to do. There's John Mark, their minister. The next thing we see in the work of the Lord is opposition. If we think at any time that we can get excited about the things of God, that we can make commitments and decisions for the things of God and not have any opposition, we are living in a pipe dream. We understand in the end of Ephesians that it talks about how we wrestle not against flesh and blood, that Satan is a very real and very active enemy of our Lord and Savior, and henceforth us. But in verses 6 and 8, we see the opposition in the sorcerer, Bar-Jesus, or as he's called also, Elmaeus, the sorcerer. And as he comes, we see that he has some authority, that he has some power, that he is the brain trust, if you will, the power behind the throne. And oh, to see his power slipping away. Because Sergius Paul is a prudent man, a man it gives a character trait of this man. He's prudent. I believe he understood that there were some things going on in his life. There was some counsel that he was receiving that wasn't for his benefit. That wasn't what he knew he needed to be doing. But I also believe that there's a strong possibility that he was at the synagogue and heard this. And so then he calls and says, "Come, I want to hear the word of God." It'd be exciting today if we're doing our day-to-day stuff and our cell phone rings, almost at home phone, nobody has those anymore. Almost nobody. Cell phone rings and it's somebody who we've met or who's heard of us and they go, "Hey, would you come over here? I want to would you share the gospel with me?" What would be your attitude at that phone call? What would be the excitement level? Would you be going, "Oh my, I can't believe that somebody actually just called"? And I realize we live in America and things like that don't happen here. Right? Because we're a religious country, everybody already knows this stuff, right? I believe we are facing no different circumstances than what Paul was facing and what Paul was dealing with. The difference of it is Paul was about the Lord's work. He was sharing the gospel. He was doing what he was called to do. Paul had it a whole lot different than we did because somebody were to call us, number one, they'd call us on our cell phone. They wouldn't send a messenger over with a scroll or a note. In the winter time, we'd jump out and warm our car up and scrape the windows off. And in the summertime, we'd get out and turn the air conditioning on and we'd drive to wherever. Paul just stooped down and tightened his sandals and went to walking. But he gets there to share the gospel and here's this opposition. A man who Paul says, full of all subtlety and all mischief, "Thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness." Can you imagine having those attached to your name, that somebody were to call you down and attach all of that in public to your name? I believe the least of this man's worries in verse number 11 when he's struck blind, that's but a drop in the bucket of his problems. As Paul proclaims the judgment of God on this sorcerer, verse number 12 says that the deputy was just amazed at the miracles that Paul was able to do. That he was enthralled by the difference in the magic that was brought about. No, it says astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Paul wasn't all that concerned with what he was able to do, the power that God had given him to pronounce judgment upon the sorcerer. so much as he was concerned about the power that God had given him through the pronouncing of the Word of God. And we see life change not because of a man going blind, but because of a removal of evil. And a man was allowed to hear the word of the Lord. Opposition. Do we spend time every day praying and asking God to remove that opposition from our lives? Do I believe that there is still, that God still has the power that He displayed here? Don't believe it would be wise for us to walk around calling anybody any of the names that Paul called this sorcerer. Or even wise to go around and trying to strike people blind for the way they looked at us. But as Christians, as I've said before, do we pray and ask God to protect us from the evil one? To remove opposition out of our way. And as we pray, do we do the same thing, parents? Do we do the same thing for our kids? For our children? Do we pray that God will remove them from evil? Protect them from evil? That God will put the right kind of people in their path? Do we pray for our missionaries the same thing? As Paul later says, it's not all men have faith. The fourth thing we see in the work of the Lord, there will be hardship. Verses 13 through 14, they then travel. As I said before, he didn't jump into a nice vehicle. He tightened up the laces on his sandals and went down the road. Got on a ship and sailed and landed in the on Patmos and moved from there to Perga. And as they landed, in verse number 14 or 13, we see John Mark departed from them, returned to Jerusalem. What happened to the excitement? What happened to the oh, I want to see, I want to serve, I want to do something? And what happened? Don't get me wrong, we don't have details and we don't know what's going on. There's